This is Craig Miller, Director of Star Wars Fan Relations, and you are listening to Studio 2009, only on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Why do I always think that taking you home for life day is going to be easy?
Star Wars, what's that? This podcast episode apparently does not exist, everybody.
We're doing this again. No, you know what happened? I just realized. George Lucas managed to come to your house when you weren't paying attention with a hammer. Like he always, because that's on the back of every illegal copy of a bootleg copy of the holiday special is, if I had time and a hammer, I would go around and smash every copy. It got to you too.
Yep. So folks, we're doing this for the second time, and this is the second recording that I've fucked up. I don't even remember. I've been fucking up a lot at the end of 2024.
With us, I think this is the only one we've had to re-record.
Okay.
I don't know about you and your other hooers, but
wow. Yeah, me and my other Twi'leks. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, we are redoing the Star Wars holiday special from 1978. Oh, God. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike.
Are we also doing the Lego one?
Yes, that too.
Okay, well, you just said the original one.
Yep, that too. Yeah, so it's the original holiday special from 1978, as well as the Lego holiday special from 2022, question?
Oh, I'm sure we got it right the first time.
Yeah, I'm sure we did get it right the first time, because the first time I was actually prepared. Heaven forbid I don't prepare for a podcast, folks. What? November 17th, 2020. Hey, at least I got the date right. As far as
November 17th. It makes sense, because when we get to it, it makes sense that it was pretty close on the heels of Last Skywalker, or first whatever, next Skywalker.
You just took...
Jesus, Rise of Skywalker. I'm not even doing a bit.
Well, that's definitely a bit now, because you just took Last Jedi and made it Rise of Skywalker.
I think other people have done that, but like I wasn't trying to. It's just
that's hilarious.
They're not great.
No, they're not. And yeah, they may not be great, and you fine folks would have already heard us talk about them. We're going to talk about them again in the next episode, because we've got the sequel series scores in episode 110. This is episode 109 of Studio 2009.
See, you missed the perfect segue.
Guess what?
Speaking of not great, Star Wars Holiday Special.
I watched it for a second time.
Oh, my God.
I will
God.
Never watch it again. Oh, my God.
I've probably seen it four or five. I've seen it more than four or five times. I must have. But like my running, like I've got a lot of preambles to this one.
Okay.
My running joke is always that it's like the Tootsie Pop of Star Wars, because, you know, in the old commercials, it was like, how many licks can you get to the center of a Tootsie Pop? Right. And the owl does three licks and he bites it.
Yep.
So for the holiday special, it's how long can you go? It's like the scene in Dune where he's got his hand in the box and it's burning his hand. How long can you hold on until you just fast forward to the Boba Fett cartoon?
Yep.
And then call it a day. Ironically, even though it's pretty faded at this point in my head, when we did it the original time, a month or two ago, like I did watch the entire thing. And I was surprised just how long it goes.
Yeah.
Because I remember it in terms of, because the show is done like an old, it was the one of the things I wanted to mention is that last year, well, at the beginning of this year, mm-hmm. you know, we're in December, so it's that weird sort of this year, yeah. last year kind of.
Yeah.
But earlier in 2024, there was a documentary called A Disturbance in the Force about the making of the holiday special, which, of course, I got as soon as I could get my hands on it.
Yep.
And one of the things that I didn't know was that, part of it was that there were two crews that worked on the holiday special. There was the Lucas crew and there was the CBS TV crew.
Yep.
And part of the story of the holiday special is that the Lucas crew sort of faded one by one. And the TV crew sort of took over more and more. And the two people that really ran the show by the end had worked for, they were part of the Carol Burnett Show, which if you're a 70s person or just a fan of comedy, was it was more comedy sketches than variety per se. I mean, they had musical numbers, I believe. No, wow, it's weird. I used to watch that all the time with my mom, but but like, you know, but point being, part of Disturbance in the Force really sort of hits home that in the late 70s especially, variety specials were a thing, and that the holiday special was not sort of we consider it this weird sort of anomaly, this weird mutant thing, but in context it actually was a piece. Like they focus a lot of firepower on the Donnie Marie episode that was based on Star Wars.
Yes.
Which had Paul Lynde as Governor Tarkin. I mean, you know, like saying, like, look, it wasn't even the Star Wars Holiday Special wasn't even the worst variety show based on Star Wars in the 70s.
Yeah.
Like, so the point being that the whole reason I went off on this tangent is that I remember it because it was done in segments. I remember segments. But, yes, like, I'm a little fuzzy about where the segments are put in the whole, you know? Like, right, the scene with B. Arthur is much later than I thought it was. Like, I think it's even after the Boba Fett stuff, you know, and like one of the three Harvey Korman, speaking of Carol Burnett, sequences is like the robot one is like really late in the show. But yeah, like I remember it in terms of chunks rather than a narrative whole, because the basic story is that I don't think we talked about this. Like, I can't remember where I read it. I think maybe even in Craig Miller's book.
Okay.
Lucas has said somewhere that Chewie didn't get a medal. Speaking of Rise of Skywalker, Chewie didn't get a medal because the deal was Han promised to take him home for Life Day as his reward.
Right.
Even though the novelization says, written allegedly by George Lucas, really Alan Dean Foster, says that Chewie got a medal.
Right.
But few princesses are that tall.
Right. Yes.
Is the literal line. But anyway, so point being, like, it was his reward was to be taken home for Life Day, which is a big Wookiee holiday. So the story is that Han is trying to get Chewie home for Life Day, but they're being chased around by stock footage from Star Wars. Meanwhile, stock footage of Darth Vader wants all the homes on Kashyyyk searched because there are rebels somewhere there. He wants to find the rebels. And the same musical score blares every time, the dun-dun-dun-dun. And we spend most of the time with Chewie's family. Mala Toobuk.
Yep.
Atcha something itchy. It's Mala, Itchy, and Lumpy are nicknames. And Mala is his wife. Itchy is his dad, his grumpy old dad. And Lumpy is his
son.
Yeah, I'm trying to come up with the right pejorative adjectives. Hideous, terrifying. Like, he's got tiny little people teeth in his Wookiee mouth, and it's creepy. Yeah. He's just icky, unnatural, uncanny. Awful. It's hard to believe that this special was not particularly well loved. so yeah, and meanwhile, like Art Carney is a local space trader.
Yeah, he's traders. Yeah, he's traders. Sandan
or something. Yeah.
Yeah. But, well, I'm looking right at it. I just wasn't sure how to pronounce the sun part. I wasn't. It's S-A-U-N. I might be remembering it wrong
because I got nothing in front of me. So
yeah. But yeah, B. Arthur is in this. Obviously, Jones is the voice of the thing, the Vader person.
The first time that he was credited as being the voice of Darth Vader? I think that came up somewhere.
I'm not sure.
I can't remember if that came up with Craig Miller or just we came up with it.
I think it was probably when we read Craig's book.
Yeah. But yeah, I think this is the first time that James Earl Jones was credited as being the voice of Darth Vader.
Yep.
Which is a weird sort of footnote. Look, if we had the original recording, my facts were a lot better that time around. So if I'm pulling stuff out of my butt or if I'm wrong, I apologize. Like, don't at me. Don't at me, bro. Like,
can't at him anyway because he's not on social media, folks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a perfect scheme.
Yes, exactly. Meanwhile, we have Flava Dave at geekcastradio.com. You can email him there.
Oh, do you?
Okay. No, I'm it's an old joke.
It's a very old joke.
It's a very old joke. It's kind of like a very old code that never...
It's not a code. It was a nickname that was given
to him. Yeah, no, I know.
Never particularly liked.
He was first credited as Vader in Return of the Jedi, according to Google.
What? Wow. Yeah. Even Empire? That's...
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, I mean, he was
Google, not, then it has to be right.
Well, I'm
I'm being facetious.
Okay, so fine. You don't want the Google results? Here's the first.
Let's not get bogged down.
I know you were being facetious, but I wanted to make sure that we weren't just going by the Google AI, because I prefer actual intelligence to artificial intelligence. Smithsonian Magazine is the first search result that says Darth Vader is one of Jones' best known roles, but it wasn't always the case. At his request, Jones was not credited for the role in the first two films, A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back, until they were re-released as special editions in 1997. When Jones agreed to lend his voice to Darth Vader, he was already decades into his career as a stage and film actor. However, he didn't want to attach his name to a role out of respect for David Prowse. So that's what the Smithsonian says. Smithsonian Magazine, I should say. I don't know if it is anything related to the actual museum. But yeah, so we got all the main cast. We got Luke, Han, Princess Leia, 3PO, Chewbacca, Vader, and then we have all these other people.
Yeah, it is interesting. The weird thing is, even though there was particularly by Lucas himself, a push to sort of disavow and memory hole this thing, mm-hmm. like Harrison Ford, Peter Mayhew, Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill, Anthony Daniels, I think maybe even Kenny Baker was in the suit. It's hard to tell with R2. A lot of the times, because, you know, they had that, they had the remote control one. But like they had every, and those people were actually live and there being filmed, as opposed to Darth Vader was footage that they used. The one scene early on where he's walking down the hallways of the Devastator talking to a,
yes. I remember this from when we interviewed Mr. Craig Miller, amazing, amazing person. Go back and listen to episode 108, folks, and go back and listen to our discussion of his books in 107. But he did say that Kenny was not, and it does say here in Wikipedia that Kenny was not a part of this, that it was the remote control R2 in the special. So,
okay.
Well, I'm
acknowledging you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I watched it for a second time, and I still, I'm indifferent to it. I don't dislike it. Well, I don't like it, but I don't hate it either. Like, it's not like, trust me, I've seen worse.
Well, I mean, again, that was kind of the point of A Disturbance in the Force was, hey, there was a lot worse crap on TV back then. You just remember this because it was Star Wars.
Yeah. And folks, we will be discussing and watching this. We'll be watching it again. I'll be watching it for the first time. He'll be watching it again next May, because May the 4th be with you. So we will be covering A Disturbance in the Force for Star Wars next year. But that's why I'm kind of holding off. Like, I don't mind you making references to it, because I'm not one of those types.
I never know what the schedule is, so I didn't know we were doing. I'm not trying to spoil. I mean,
it's a documentary.
Spoiler alert! Yeah, they made the show.
But that's no. That's my point. Is that honestly, with the way my brain works, by the time I go watch it next May, I will have forgotten everything you might have said about it here in this episode, unless I go back and listen to this.
And also, I'm just recounting like what I saw. I think I did rewatch it for the original version of this episode, so I've seen it twice.
Yep.
But like, you know, what I saw like a month ago, and I don't think I was paying as close attention the second time. So, but just like, it is a fascinating like the Star Wars Holiday Special is just weirdly fascinating on almost every level, because it represents a time. Like I said, the 70s, late 70s, that whole sort of just attitude, feeling, atmosphere. It also is part of a very storied franchise, which has fallen on hard times, but you know, Star Wars still has a name.
Yes.
It still has a land in Disney World. It's still a thing, and it's a weird coming together of those two things. It's you know, one of the things that I kind of talked about at the end of the last time we recorded this is for a very long time, particularly like when the internet was still young, but a lot of the things that I see are, you know, like a lot of the earlier takes on the holiday special treated it like it was an urban myth.
Yeah.
Like, I saw this really weird, terrible Star Wars thing on TV. I heard a rumor that there was a Christmas special for Star Wars and it was really bad. And I always say, because I'm old, I was 1978. I was 7 years old.
Yep.
I was in front of my TV November 17th. You bet your bippy I was there watching that thing when it happened. So for me, it's always been kind of funny that like people are like, did you hear about this crazy? It's like, yeah, I watched it. I saw it.
Yeah, exactly. It goes back to say what we've already said, what we've said about the sequel trilogy, but it goes back to the one line that Han Solo, well, not the one line, he has more than one line, but the line that I can quote out of the entire sequel trilogy, it's true. It's all true. Like,
it's all true. It's true. It's true. All of it.
Exactly. Like, you know, and that's the thing. And the thing of it is I think, and I could be wrong, most likely I am, but normally when you're starting a franchise, you kick it off with like the first thing, Star Wars, and you're not going to have anything for 3 years because you have to use those 3 years to work on the next movie.
Well,
or what? But my point is that you start something, you release something, and then in order to keep yourself in the spotlight, you release a smaller thing.
I believe it was Craig Miller who has that in the book.
Yep.
That Lucas, I can't remember if it was from Disturbance in the Force or from the book, but he talked about how Lucas had been at Universal because his first couple of films were for Universal.
Right.
And they passed on Star Wars.
Yep.
And he went back, he took a meeting at Universal for a re-release of American Graffiti, kind of in the wake of Star Wars' success. Yes. So, you know, you can see the poster from the creator. I mean, I have a Raiders of the Lost Ark poster on my wall that literally says, you know, new hero from the director of Jaws and creator of Star Wars. You know, American Graffiti from the creator of Star Wars. And the executive at Universal was really kind of rude and dismissive and said, oh, people will forget about Star Wars by next year. And so part of the according to the story that Craig told, I believe, part of the impetus of doing the holiday special was to keep Star Wars in people's minds during the wait for Empire. Now, obviously, you know, no one asked me because I will tell you at 7 years old, there was nothing else. Like, I mean, Battlestar Galactica was a distant second. And, you know, I have a lot of love and fond memories for all the knockoffs and ripoffs and wannabes. But there was nothing else until Empire. But, you know, from a business, Lucas, ultimately, the irony of George Lucas is Star Wars is more autobiographical than he wants it to be, where he's a guy who didn't want to be his father.
Right.
Kind of became, his father was a businessman and he didn't want to be a businessman. He wanted to be a race car driver and then he wanted to be an artist. But his real gift is business. And it was a smart business decision, theoretically, to do this special and keep Star Wars, you know, like it kept Star Wars around. And ultimately it created a very fascinating piece of art. I said earlier I had a preamble. I wanted to point out something. A couple of years back, there's a theater company in St. Louis called Amazing Smoking Monkey Theater. Anyway, I think it's called like Amazing Smoking Monkey Theater, and they did they're a comedic group.
Okay,
like they did Star Wars. They did the entire Star Wars trilogy in like 90 minutes or something. But they did one called The Making of the Star Wars Holiday Special, and this was years before Disturbance in the Force. And I went to go see it with my friend Brad. There was literally a sign above the stage, like an applause sign, you know, one of those signs that lights up and says applause. Except the sign read, "This actually appeared, or this actually aired. Like, this is real. This is real, I think, was what the sign said.
Very cool.
Like, every time something from the holiday special, and the sign would light up, like, this is real. The scene with Diane Carroll and Grandpa.
Yep.
Where, you know, the holiday tradition of watching your pornography on the headset, on your hairdryer.
Yep.
That lit up. My friend Brad looked at me and he said, no way. And I'm like, oh, my friend. Yes. This was real. Everything they're showing you actually aired on national TV as part of Star Wars. And the last thing I want to add before we really talk about the holiday special is I'm a big fan of Red Letter Media, who became kind of famous for their prequel, the Plinkett prequel reviews.
Yep.
But they have another show called Best of the Worst, which I love. And one year they for the Christmas episode, they did the holiday special. And that I actually watch every year as opposed to the actual holiday special. And it's two episodes, 2 hours. The first hour is literally them doing anything but talking about the Star Wars holiday special. Like they you think we go on detours. Like they just do everything to avoid talking about the Star Wars holiday special. And then the second episode, they actually talk about the Star Wars holiday special. But like they show clips of them actually watching it. Part of it is a discussion panel, and part of it is them footage of them watching it. And I will never forget Jay Bauman sitting there in front of the TV as the music kicks in and you hear the Lord Star Wars holiday special. He goes, they got the font wrong. And to me, that is all really, if you have no other interest in watching this, all you need to know, they got the first thing you see, they got the font wrong.
That's hilarious. Oh, that's crazy. So usually, folks, when he mentions stuff to me, I'm immediately on mute and searching for it so I can clarify and make sure I have all the information. You're talking about the Magic Smoking Monkey, the yes. St. Louis Shakespeare, is now apparently called St. Louis Shakespeare / Magic
Smoking. No, apparently that was like the Smoking Monkey was an offshoot of the Shakespearean Company.
Okay. Well, I've found their website and I found their schedule and everything else, and I'm like,
I found that too, but they're not doing it anytime. Like this was 7 years ago.
Really? I thought this is recent.
No. Oh, I mean, it way predates COVID.
Really?
The thing that I saw, yeah.
Well, let me tell you.
I don't hang out with my friend Brad anymore because I got married. And
oh, boy.
Being a married guy. And
one of those. They are currently in their 39th season, and they are doing this year, apparently, Hamlet, Julius Caesar, Titanic on Ice, the musical.
That's the monkey stuff. Yeah.
That's Titanic, what I'm saying.
And Lord of the Rings. Yeah.
Yeah, and sure. Titanic and Lord of the Rings. Yeah, Titanic is or was, because the page isn't. Titanic was June 21st to 29th of this year, so it's still going.
I never said that the company went away. I just said that particular show.
Right, that show went away. Yeah.
I mean, they stopped doing it. Like, yeah. You know, I mean, it's like, and I don't think they've done Star Wars in an hour or whatever it was. The Star Wars trilogy, they did Star Wars trilogy in an hour. They did, you know, I saw a couple of them with those guys. I never saw the Lord of the Rings one, but.
The I'm actually trying to find the Star Wars one now that I'm looking through all these seasons. But anyway, the Star Wars holiday special, it's I think we said in the first recording, and yes, folks, we're always going to reference the first recording because I fucked up and the recording no longer exists. And we're going to have to repeat ourselves because I repeat.
Lucas took a hammer to it.
Uh-huh, I repeat myself all of the time. I think if I remember correctly, what we said kind of sort of in the beginning of that was like what you already said about waiting to get to the Boba Fett cartoon, watching the Boba Fett cartoon, and then tuning back out for the rest of the special. I've watched the special twice now. I am perfectly fine never watching the special again. The Boba Fett cartoon. Here's the thing. Disney, if you're listening to this, which I'm sure you're not, because unless I do something weird and stupid and incur a copyright claim on YouTube, which I'm not going to do, you're not going to pay attention to what the hell I'm going to say. But please, for the love of fucking Yoda, put the Nelvana cartoon on Disney Plus or something. Put it on physical media. Do something. Put it on a Laserdisc. I don't care. Separate it out from this stuff. Now, the funny thing is, the Boba Fett cartoon done by Nelvana, we, not you and I, but myself and was it Steve Megatron? Who was it that talked to Michael Hirsch?
I don't know.
So, anyway, now I got to go to GeekCastRadio.com and find out because now it's going to bug me.
Hi, I'm Michael Hirsch. I've had a great career in animation, making shows like the first Star Wars cartoons, the Beetlejuice cartoon, Max and Ruby, and many, many, many more. And you're listening to me now on GeekCast Radio.
So it's funny talking about the Nelvana Boba Fett cartoon because my buddy Steve Megatron and I had the opportunity to interview Michael Hirsch, who created Nelvana.
You told me that. Yeah, I remember this came up.
Yeah, I remember this came up last time because of the Nelvana cartoon, obviously. And it was just as awesome as talking to him as it was that you and I talked to Craig Miller. And I'm planning, folks. I don't know how or what or whatever we're going to be doing. But next year for GeekCast Radio Network, I am going to get as many interviews as I can in 1 year because I miss interviewing people. We've interviewed over 50, 60 people in our 15-year history. God, Mike, what the fuck's wrong with you? And, yeah, I miss doing that. But getting back to the Star Wars Holiday Special, I like the plot to a certain point. I like the structure of it.
The plot is literally the one thing that's not wrong with it, per se.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point. Exactly. I like the structure of it. I think it's cool. I think it's interesting. It's just, I kind of like thinking that Chewie is this lone bounty hunter with Han.
Well, you know,
he doesn't always have to be with Han, but.
Yeah, it does sort of cast a weird light on Chewie.
Yeah.
That he's basically abandoned his family.
Uh-huh. Yeah, very. Which, as someone who is from divorced parents, even though my dad never abandoned me or anything like that, but
as someone whose dad basically did.
Oh, I'm sorry.
A little triggered.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to trigger you. But I think my point is that for me and my dad, we spent a lot of time together as a kid, but I knew my parents were divorced. So, you know, one weekend or I lived with my mom full time and then one or two weekends or three weekends or whatever it is, I'd go see my dad kind of thing. And he's been in and out of my life throughout all of my life. But right now, luckily, he's in my life. That sucks on your end, though, because point is that you look at this story, you look at this plot, you look at Chewbacca. Not saying he's a deadbeat dad, because he's not, but he's off gallivanting
the galaxy. Yeah, you do get that feeling a little bit.
Yeah, because, like, you got to have the mother and the son and then the grandpa or any other parent or aunt, uncle or whatever as a supposed third supporter. If the father is supporting the family, that's two supportive staffs. But, yeah, it's a whole thing. And I don't know, like, I like the thing of him, at least he's trying. That's the thing. They're trying to get him home. He wants to go home. He wants to spend time with his family. So at least they're not saying here, this is horrible. This is whatever. Chewbacca's deadbeat dad of the year for 1978.
Well, I mean, number one, 1978, it was a different time.
Right.
Number two, there used to be this much bigger – one of the things that Solo kind of – the movie Solo kind of got – I don't want to say got wrong, but sort of undermined was that a big part of Han and Chewie's lore was that Han had saved Chewie.
Right.
And therefore Chewie owed him a life debt. They actually used that line with Jar Jar in the prequels.
Yeah.
Well, Misa owe you life debt. So, like, the idea was that Chewie was sort of almost working off an obligation to Han by being with him all the time.
Yeah.
Which kind of... Now, the weird thing is they sort of, and also there was a lot about, like, back in the day, nobody really knew what Han's backstory was. There was some suggestion that almost Han had been adopted by Chewie's family. So it wasn't that, like, it was like they were brothers almost.
So, and that's the thing. It could be multiple things of, like you said, the life debt and whatever else. And again, Han's not telling him, oh, my God, you owe me this life debt. You must be with me all of the time. You can never. Han has never said in any media, you can never go home. So, again, it isn't like it's a bad situation. It's just a situation of Chewie's gone all the time because he's on these adventures with Han, not because it's. Yeah, it's weird. And the whole... I kind of get the second watch through. I don't know what my brain was doing because I'm brain damaged, folks. I kind of got the whole Archie Bunker feeling, but Archie wasn't there. Like, it was just Edith and Michael and blah, 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 and whatever else, and Gloria and all that. I don't know. It was weird the second time I watched it. It was really, I had some weird, weird things going on in my head. Gotta love old TV.
But, you know, the thing is, as I said, there was this push between the, like the movie people and the TV people.
Yes.
And the TV people won. And the late 1970s was literally the heyday of Archie Bunker. Mm-hmm. And that domestic kind of sitcom. So yeah, I don't think that's an accident exactly, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's because I'm getting back, not really, I've never really left being into old TV, but I don't know if it's because I've watched more old TV recently in between the time that we recorded this the first time and now or whatever, but it's like, yeah, I didn't even think of Archie Bunker the first time around when we did this. And again, I don't dislike it. I understand it's a product of its time. I look at it in its time. That's what they could do with the effects and everything else. But that just doesn't mean 40-something years later that it isn't creepy as all hell. Some of these effects.
Oh, well, I mean, part of the narrative is that they went over budget on day one or two. Like, just completely blew their budget on the second day or second or third day. And that the director, who was part of the movie crew or part of the Lucasfilm crew, kind of got sent back to Canada.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. So it was like you're talking about effects. Like, they were like, effects? Like, you mean like lights?
Yeah.
Like sound?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, again, because, you know, like we've been talking, or we will be talking about this. We haven't yet. We have, but we haven't, folks. But because, again, we have to re-record this shit. Where's that? There's the list. But we will be doing Columbo after this. And again, there's no real effects in Columbo. I mean, there's the cars and the whatever, but like there's no laser light swords, there's no this, there's no that, there's no whatever. And the same thing kind of goes for the holiday special. There is effects in it because it is an effects thing, but effects weren't as big as they are now back then.
Like, are there effects? Like, I mean, because nobody gets shot. There are a couple of optical effects, particularly towards the end. During the drug trip hallucination journey into the warp. To celebrate Life Day. But like, yeah, there aren't like lasers, like, because I remember reading when V became a TV series, making my day, I remember reading an article in Starlog about how like each laser blast was something like $200 or, you know, they just making that laser effect. So yeah, there wasn't any shooting. All the starship effects were from Star Wars, like reused. Like the Millennium Falcon quote cockpit, it's weird because they were making Empire. I guess they were early enough that they didn't have the Millennium Falcon set built because they had like – it was – and I'm stealing this from Red Letter Media. It was like the scene from Ed Wood with the Plan 9 airplane set made out of cardboard. Right. And the Millennium Falcon cockpit looks like it's something painted on cardboard. It looks super cheap. I mean, and then they did have access to Rick Baker? Question mark? Sorry. Like – we're redoing all this, so and I'm not good on doing homework to begin with, but like the guy who did the creature effect for the cantina, they had access to all of his masks.
Right. Okay.
Remember this? Remember we talked about this?
Yeah.
And it was interesting because you actually saw a lot of creatures that got very minimal attention in the actual final film because Lucas hated, like, because, you know, they had, like, a lot of, like, one of them is, like, a giant mouse, which B. Arthur sings to, which I think is in Star Wars, but you never can see him because Lucas was sort of embarrassed that they had to use all these extra things that Rick Baker had lying around.
Yeah.
Because Star Wars ran out of money. Yep. Star Wars cost a lot of money to make. And it's also interesting that two things. Number one, that's why Lucas, when they came around to do Return of the Jedi, he said, "I don't want any animals," or he had some line about, "I don't want any, you know, mice costumes or any animal costumes. I want them to be weird, unique looking aliens." He felt very strongly about that. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is, if you look, particularly with the Walrus Man, it's famously he has different arms because in that cutaway shot in Star Wars, which was added, by the way, I think I said this in the actual Star Wars episode, they added that shot to give the movie a PG rating. Like it was going to be G rated. And Lucas was like, "Oh no, that's a kiss of death." Cause everyone's going to think it's a kid's film.
Yep.
So they added that shot of Pondo Baba's arm on the ground and he's got fingers. But if you look in the holiday special, he's got like suction cups or like octopus kind of, you know what I mean? Like the little, it's not a tentacle, but it's the end of a tentacle, the little pad at the end of a tentacle. He's got those.
It's kind of like the pads on a dog's paw sort of thing.
Completely different than the pads of a dog paw.
Okay. Well.
And it's funny because like, and also you'll notice like his jacket, like the sleeves are cut off below the elbow for the holiday special guy. But he's not the same. He's not the same character. I know that. Like, because I can't remember his name. I know they mention the Greedo. There's because Greedo's in the cantina, the VR the cantina, and his name is Ludlow. but I can't remember what the Pondo Baba, the Aqualish character. Sorry, I gotta be a Star Wars nerd, I guess. So the Aqualish character, yes. His name. He just happens to dress like Pondo Bob, but he's a different guy. They're all different guys because it's clearly people always ask, is that the same cantina? And I'm pretty sure it's not supposed to be.
And this is a travesty to me. So I am looking through Mr. Rick Baker's selected filmography on Wikipedia.
Wrong.
No. What? He has obviously credits for Star Wars, makeup second unit 1977, but he did was the makeup artist for Empire, but he goes uncredited for it. I don't understand that whatsoever, but it does not. I mean, like you said, maybe they used his stuff in the holiday special, but he is nowhere.
Oh no, credited. Whoever did Star Wars, they had absolutely used everything that they had.
Yeah.
That the guy had. You know, for Empire, I can kind of, because there aren't that many. Empire is kind of interesting because there really aren't that many. You know, Star Wars is famous for the cantina scene and Jedi is famous for Jabba's palace. But Empire really doesn't have, like, it's mostly just humans. There's the bounty hunters, but like, if you look at them, like Bosk is basically there was a character with that mask in Star Wars and they put it on an old Doctor Who flight suit. This is true. Like that suit was lying around from a Doctor Who episode. IG-88, his head is a drink dispenser from the cantina, famously. Forlom is basically a 3PO body with a bug head. What I'm saying is like they didn't really, and then Dengar's a guy. He's an actor who has like a bag on his head, and he's wearing snowtrooper armor that's painted brown.
Right.
I mean, you do have the Ugnaughts, and you do have like one. And then the two other aliens from Cloud City are from the cantina. There's a Snaggletooth. I think his name is, I can't remember his name. And then there's a guy who, in the old Marvel comics, there's an alien in the cantina who doesn't get a lot of screen time. But in the old Marvel comics, they used him for Jabba the Hutt.
Gotcha.
So they, and then they reuse that mask for an alien on a background alien on Bespin, who you probably won't even notice. Yeah. You'll notice the guy with the ice cream maker more than you'll notice him, but they're there. I have the cards, and I don't think I have figures of those guys yet, but I have the trading card game cards of those guys.
Very cool.
But my point being that, like, yeah, I wonder how much new stuff Rick Baker really did.
Yeah.
Vampire.
Maybe that's why he's uncredited.
Like Vader's head. I don't know. I wasn't there. And then Yoda was made by Stuart Freeborn. So.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. Overall, folks, after experiencing it two times, the only two times in my life, I can safely say I enjoyed the experience the first time. The second time, it went way too long. It took way too long for me to watch this the second time. And again, I will say it again, Disney, please put the Boba Fett cartoon on Disney Plus. Put it on DVD. Do the whole thing. Well, yes, do the whole thing, obviously, but like, something. It's not like, come on. Like,
I get that George hates it. And, you know, there's an interesting kind of side note story again. Because it's interesting. When we recorded this before the premiere of Skeleton Crew, and in, which is the new Disney Plus Star Wars show. Yep. And in the first episode of Skeleton Crew, a couple of – yeah, well, they don't – like, there's a sequence at the beginning of the holiday special where Lumpy is watching this weird hologram Cirque du Soleil performance. And I remember talking at the time, I thought it was watching it again this time. It was funny because like they were trying to do like the chessboard table, the Djeric table from the Falcon, but as a entertainment system. But like, you could see like old tape cassette players glued to the perimeter of the table. And then he actually uses the cassette to like plug in like an actual audio cassette that you would use in your car back in the '80s.
Yep.
No, because in 1978, that was high tech stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But my point is that when they, I thought when I watched Skeleton Crew, that they just reused the footage. But according to the guys who made Skeleton Crew, there was no footage. Yeah. They had to recreate all that stuff from scratch because it was wiped. Now I know that like some of the costumes survived because in Disturbance in the Force, they interview a guy who actually collected some of the costumes of the circus performers.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting that like when they were like, oh, we want to do this little scene where the kids are watching the little circus thing.
Yeah.
Like there was nothing in the archives from that. They had to remake that.
Yeah. And that's very sad.
Well, it is sad. And I do have this frustration with the situation. One of many frustrations with the situation with Disney is Lucas is not in charge anymore. Yeah. Like, and you know, as much as we like to all raise our fists and yell at Kathleen Kennedy, like there are like you release the holiday special, release the original theatrical edits of Star Wars. Well, we can't do that. Yeah, you can. They exist. Like, I mean, they actually released them on DVD at one point. They weren't like remastered. They weren't nice. They were actually kind of, I think they were deliberately crummy, but, well, I think they were. I think they were like just bad rips. Like, do that, because that's what the fans want. I know that's not what Lucas wants, but he's gone now.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I know not all companies are going to listen to the fans of the franchise and stuff like that, because companies are going
to do it. Listen to the fans. Listen to the shareholders.
Well, it will make
money.
Yes, exactly. But I've said this since, what was it, 2014, that he sold his shit? He sold his shit. He doesn't have anything. He has no say. Like, if they decide to go to him and ask him his opinion, that's fine. But if they don't
say, no, I don't, I, there is no holiday special. Don't release it. It doesn't exist.
Like we do with the Indiana Jones films. There's only three, you know, there was no holiday special. Like, yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, but, and maybe, My only thing is there must be something in the contract somewhere.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. There must be something in the contract somewhere. I wish it could be.
Because like, originally, okay, it was like Fox owned the rights, kind of had the rights to Star Wars. There was a weird gray area.
Yep.
With the original Star Wars.
Yep.
But Disney owns Fox now.
Exactly. Like, yeah, exactly. I mean, this whole thing, this holiday special thing, kind of reminds me of all the Superman 2 hullabaloo between the Lester cut and the Donner cut and the this cut and the that cut. And how there was a documentary about Superman 2 years ago at this point about how they had to find certain footage and certain things like that. That's what the holiday special, the behind the scenes of this whole thing reminds me of. Because, again, like you've said, George was like, kick it to the curb. Bye. Don't care. Yes, we made it. Yes, it existed exactly once, supposedly. But and yes, it does still exist today. But in general, I'm ignoring this completely. And I don't ever want it to be found. It's kind of like he buried it under a big W, but you can't get it.
There's a thing, trying to make sure I get the right one. Like there's a phenomenon. I think it's called the Streisand phenomenon, which was named for when Barbara Streisand was getting married at one point, and she was like, I don't want any press. Leave me alone.
Yep.
And the skies over her house were covered with helicopters. It's like, yes, like Lucas is like, I don't want anyone to watch the holiday special. Like in that Red Letter Media episode that I reference, like the joke was that every present under the tree was a different bootleg DVD copy of the Star Wars. And they were all, and they had, they, in that episode alone, they had like five or six copies at least. You know, I have a bad bootleg copy that doesn't work. And I have what I'm saying is people are like selling this thing. Like you can go online now and buy a bootleg copy of the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Yeah.
And I think if Disney actually released it and actually like, you know, people would buy it.
Yeah,
I would buy a legitimate copy.
Oh, absolutely, you would, because that's your thing.
And yes. Like, there's this weird thing in Hollywood where, like, fans of the franchise are not welcome. And I don't understand that, because we're the idiots who actually buy that action figure before it goes to Ollie's, who will actually buy a copy of the holiday special on DVD, who actually, you know, get annoyed that freaking Skeleton Crew won't premiere until 8:35.2. Like, come on already. Like, but we're the guys you can count on, and more importantly, we're the guys you can count on for money. And yes. I hate to be, again, George Lucas's brilliance was he's not a brilliant artist per se, but he's a brilliant business guy. Like, you're not making these things out of the kindness of your heart. You know, you're not. I think there is a genesis of each, you know, piece of narrative that is a genuine desire by storytellers to tell a story. But there is also a, particularly with something like Star Wars, cost. I mean, even a cheap Star Wars costs hundreds of millions of dollars. Not hundreds of millions, but millions of dollars. I mean, at this point, even a Batman story costs millions of dollars. Like, nothing is cheap anymore.
No, nothing is cheap.
And something like Star Wars, which has aliens and spaceships, and I mean, even Andor had a. Even people who are like, oh, Andor had no aliens. Yes, they did.
Yes, it did.
Aliens and spaceships. Like, what I'm saying is, at some point, you have to defray these costs. And, like, you could do that by selling crap to the mindless, drooling consumers who are fans of this stuff. Like me.
Like
or
you.
You could go, we're not going to do that because of reasons. Because we want a new audience. Well, okay, but number one, that new audience doesn't like to buy things. And number two, they don't love Star Wars. Like, it's just I don't understand this obsession with courting an audience that isn't already in love with you. And I understand at the same time, you know, there's a double-edged sword, because you don't want to patronize, or I don't know if that's the right word, but like, you know, there's like season 3 of Picard, Alien Romulus. They were a little too fan servicey, you know, but fans ate that stuff up.
But that's the thing. Fans will eat that stuff up and give you the way to make more stuff. Like, that's the thing. And that's absolutely.
But then like Paramount turned around and said, OK, we're not doing any more with that. Like it was like I bought that. I bought season 3 on DVD. I've got season 1 because I was curious. Skip season 2 because season 1 was terrible. But everyone talked about season 3, and I'm not that huge a Star Trek fan, but I like Next Generation. Mm-hmm. It's like, It's like whoever got in charge of these corporations doesn't understand that you do need to make money at it. And I think the problem with Disney is so big. They have all these different income streams that they've forgotten that everything should carry its own weight. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like you can't just let the parks carry the streaming service. You can't let the cruise lines carry the parks. Everything's got to carry its own weight. And a good way to make money for Star Wars would be to release the original theatrical cuts, or if you have to do it. I remember there's a great documentary called People versus George Lucas, which predates the Disney era.
Yep.
And the guy's like, look, just do a whatever, just do a 6-episode jumble DVD with the theatrical cuts. I'll throw away the prequels, or do a complete set with the, like Lucas did with E.T., you know, do the theatrical cut and do the new cut.
Yeah.
You know, I'll throw away the discs I don't want, and I'll keep the theatrical cut. Fans will do that. Fans will buy. I mean, that's probably what Disney will do if they were going to do anything. It's like a 9 or 12 or what is it? We're up to 11 volume, you know, $200 DVD set or whatever, whatever the thing is at that time, Blu-ray, 4K.
Yep.
No, but it'll be all of them.
Yes.
Like you'll be able to get the theatrical, and people will buy it because they want a nice copy of the theatrical cut.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh boy,
the holiday special,
folks. That's the holiday special.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, B. Arthur sings. B. Arthur sings. Doesn't Carrie Fisher sing?
Oh my God! Yes, she does.
Yeah.
She sings the Star Wars theme with words. Today we celebrate a day of harmony.
Me. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, there's like a lot of stuff that we're not talking about, like Mark Hamill. The story, like the narrative, is that it might have been that because this was right out. He had a horrible car accident and had plastic surgery.
You're right.
But, like, apparently that either happened after the holiday special or he'd already healed up. Because famously the story is that in Empire he gets hit by the Wampa to sort of explain why he's got scars on his face.
Right.
But, like, the reason I'm bringing this up is because if you watch it, Mark Hamill looks really bizarre.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, he looks like Dorothy Hamill. He's got so much makeup on. And apparently that was just the makeup person didn't know what they were doing.
Yikes. That's not good.
And then, you know, God bless Carrie Fisher. Apparently, she had a lot of problems in her life. Issues. Mm-hmm. And some of those were going on at the time she was making the holiday special. I don't think it's as noticeable as Return of the Jedi, but,
So January 11th of 77, before shooting one of his scenes in Star Wars, that was when he had his accident. And then
that was way before the holiday special, though.
Yeah, that was way before the holiday special. Hmm. But the holiday special, it exists. 0 to 5. What are we going to give it?
I'm trying to come up with, like, I'm trying to be a smartass. okay, what was the scale? 0 to 5?
0 to 5. You can use half points if you want.
I'm trying to, like, come up with, like, an alphabet that isn't, like, an English alphabet. Just to be... It defies... It's, look, quality 2.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not a Star Wars fan, 1, 0. I mean, if you're not a Star Wars fan, there's nothing there for you. But if you love Star Wars, like really genuinely love it,
mm-hmm.
Oh, like a 4.5. I mean, it's a piece of – it belongs in a museum, to quote another Lucas character.
So for the uninitiated that don't click on the link every time that I have it in the show notes for the GCR and Geek Meter, 4.5, a remarkable, top of the class. Fans of the genre would be crazy to miss this. It has a few flaws, but they're dwarfed by its awesomeness. Huge
but that's
leap
your
forward.
System.
Okay, yes, I understand that, but I'm just—that's the system we go by around here. I'm just saying that's the definition for us.
I mean,
for
4.5. I, up until you said a few flaws, I was okay with what you were saying. Like, obviously, the whole thing is flaw. The whole thing is a flaw. Like, it is literally the it is the flaw in the diamond of Star Wars. Until the year 1997, it was the flaw in the diamond that was Star Wars. And then a whole bunch of other flaws started cracking their way in.
So I think just based on, and I'm not going to read all the whole scale, not this time, but I think just based off of the scale that we use, I would say 2.5 or a 3 is a respectable. But, I mean, you can have your 4.5. I'm saying
But what I'm saying is it depends on the audience.
Absolutely, it does. And the audience for this rating is you and I. So,
well, okay. But
if your rating is 4.5,
this series, yeah. Mm-hmm. we're the only two that are listening to it. But what I'm saying is, if there's something special about it, obviously, if as a piece of quality wise, it's a 2 at best.
Yes,
maybe a 1. I think people really put some effort. It gets knocked, but people really did put some effort into it, and that brings it up to a 2. Yeah. But
this is why I say 3.0 or
it is like, I'm not saying you watch it every year, like
John Oh no,
or you know Rudolph, but I mean if you are a huge Star Wars fan, if you love Star Wars, if that is something like you're coming to it new, mm-hmm. you should watch it once.
Yeah.
Like I can't not recommend you watch it at least once.
At least once. For me, folks, I can't decide between a 2.5 or a 3 on our scale. A 2.5 is below average. And it says, bummer, the negatives outweigh the positives. Not awful, but there's just too much meh to recommend. Maybe redeeming quality or two, but overall it leaves you wanting more. 3.0, which is average, it's not that bad, but it's not amazing either. Nothing really stands out, and it's forgettable.
It's forgettable?
No, that's the thing.
You forget that you've gone through this experience?
Not that I've gone through it twice, no, because, you know, my dumbass had to ruin the first recording by not saving the damn audio file. Oh, God. I'll give it a 2.5. I'll give it a 2.5. The special itself, the Wookiee, the live action, all that, and I'll give the cartoon a 3.5.
Oh well, okay. The cartoon is like easily a 3.5, a 4.
Yeah, it's absolutely
solid. Like absolutely, it's legitimately it like again, the joke was you're trying to like hold on until you break and like just jump to the cartoon, because the cartoon was the first introduction to Boba Fett, the weird character that we sent away, you know, proofs of purchases to get a rocket firing action figure, which didn't fire rockets. Thanks, Mattel. thanks, Battlestar Galactica fan children who fired Viper missiles down your throat and screwed up our Boba Fett toy. jerks.
He's not bitter much, folks, now, is he?
Oh, hey, at least I got my Boba Fett, as opposed to, like, I'd never got the, they had, like, the little accessory set from Empire Strikes Back with the backpacks, and I never got that.
Well, folks, that's it for the holiday special. We're going to take a quick ad break, and we're going to come back and briefly talk about the Lego holiday special for Star Wars right after this.
Hello, geeks and geekettes! Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
So let's say you're looking for a podcast to your favorite 80s comic books, G.I. Joe, Transformers, Ninja Turtles, He-Man, etc. Where are you going to go to find us?
Welcome to Star Joe's Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan.
And I'm Chuck. That's right, everybody. We're the Star Joes. We host a podcast called Star Joe's Podcast. where we talk about your favorite comic books, your favorite toys of all the 80s properties.
Star Wars, G.I. Joe, Transformers, Mask, Thundercats, Voltron, you name it, we cover it. If it's in the 80s, we'll cover it at some point.
Yeah, so what you want to do to find us, you can go to iTunes, you can go to www.starjoes.com.
And remember, the Force will be with you,
because knowing us is half the battle.
Hurry, Skeletor, hurry!
I'm hurrying!
The Powers of Grayskull series has covered every episode of all of the Masters of the Universe cartoons except for two. Join Optimus Solo and TFG and Mike as they tell tales of Eternia, discover the myths of Etheria, become masters in space, evolve into the Masters of Grayskull, and finally reveal the revelation of Masters of the Universe. We'll also be finding out the origins of how guests got into or out of watching the Masters of the Universe cartoons, and so much more. You can find the podcast at geekcastradio.com and any podcatching client you choose to use. By the power and for the honor of Grayskull, we all have the power.
He-Man! Always He-Man!
Do you know John Hiatt songs?
Maybe you know them from being covered by Roseanne Cash, Three Dog Night, the Neville Brothers, Emmylou Harris, Eric Clapton, B.B. King, Jeff Healey, Bonnie Raitt, or literally hundreds of others.
Maybe you have some of his albums on your shelf or in your cow-horned Cadillac right now.
I'm Jesse Jackson.
And I'm Sylvan Groff.
And we're going to dive in from A to Z. Join us on the Perfectly Good Podcast.
We're going to discuss all of your favorites and uncover some forgotten gems, from Aces Up Your Sleeve to Zero House.
Rate and debate every John Hiatt song on the Perfectly Good Podcast. Have a little faith.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film. Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
We are Two Mics, Two Furious, a podcast where we watch every episode of Transformers Animated and discuss from two different points of view. I'm Mike Seibert, and I've never watched Transformers Animated before, and guiding me on this journey is author Michael Andrews.
Hello! Yes, longtime Transformers Animated fan, serial rewatcher. I've seen it plenty of times.
So if you've never watched Transformers Animated but always wanted a reason to, now's your chance. Likewise, if you've binged the series several times, it's a great reason to watch through again with us. Because regardless, if you're a seasoned vet or a newbie, there's something for every fan. Because I ask questions.
Why is Prowl such a dick?
So that he can be not a dick later, I think is the answer.
Subscribe to Two Mics, Two Furious on your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode.
Are we coming off furious enough? I feel like we're not living up to the... Are we supposed to be, like, more angry, more fired up? We're really in a good mood. We really enjoy talking to each other.
'Twas the night before Life Day, in a galaxy far, far away.
Looking good. Tree, food, decorations.
Coming together, heroes were, to celebrate the day.
Please be a cape. Please be a cape.
It's a wrap! Ray, adventure called, and she thought it would be fast.
Wow.
But there she found a key to the galaxy's past.
Sorry. Oh, Master Luke!
What are you doing?
This is so cool! We see my master. My master's master.
Concentrate.
My master's father.
Impressive.
My master's father's master.
Emperor Palpatine?
Hmm?
I don't believe it!
You think maybe you could put a shirt on?
It's a key to travel across space and time.
I will change to the future.
So sure are you?
Mm-hmm. Less talky-talky, more fighty-fighty.
Hold races.
Jigs!
Oh, double jigs!
Oh. So cute.
gimme, gimme. Galaxy's best emperor. Meh.
You thinking what I'm thinking?
Music.
A time of joy. This is.
Hooray!
A friendship. A family.
Who are you guys?
Master Skywalker.
My son. I mean, my. These binary sons.
Unta Gunta Solos?
You want to shoot first?
After you.
All right, folks. Star Wars got Lego-fied. That's right. The Lego Holiday Special for Star Wars. This is... this. I really enjoyed this. I thought this was fun.
I enjoyed... it was weird watching it the first 5-10 minutes. It felt like a legitimate sequel to Rise of Skywalker. And weirdly enough, as much as I didn't like that movie, I liked that.
Yeah.
Because one of the biggest knocks on Rey as a character is that she's a Mary Sue and she has no failings. And in this story, she was struggling. She had something to overcome. She felt she was a bad teacher. She felt like she couldn't care, you know. Like, that's the essence of drama is, you know, the character had a challenge to overcome.
Yep.
And I was interested. And then it became like years and years and years and years ago, back before they were utterly ubiquitous. You know, I played the Batman Lego game. This is the years before the movie.
Right.
And I really enjoyed it. And I thought it was really fun. And then I played the Batman Indiana or the Lego Indiana Jones game, and I was like, this is the same game. And like apparently every Lego game is the same game.
Yeah.
So like my tolerance for Lego-y shenanigans, see, they break apart because they're Legos, get it? So my tolerance for Lego-y shenanigans is very low. Surprisingly enough, but I love the first Lego movie. Because they didn't really do that much, but this had a lot of the Lego. It just when it got Lego-y and the time shenanigans, the timey wimey, I started checking out and checking my phone and because I think part of it, you know, in a way, it almost was sabotage with me because I was like, wait, I'm really interested in this, and then it was like, yeah, never mind, we're gonna run around through time and be silly. Oh, okay.
I mean, I liked the running around through time because they're running around through various Star Wars events from...
Yeah, well, that's the thing. They're running around through iconic Star Wars moments.
Yes. And, I know people are probably going to shoot me for saying this, but the Lego Star Wars Holiday Special is essentially It's a Wonderful Life with Lego and Star Wars. Because they go through all these things, and they even say it in one of them, like, oh, they can't hear us, or we can't do anything, we're not supposed to affect anything, we're not supposed to change anything, we're not supposed to do this, do that, whatever. So, I mean,
Out of curiosity, have you ever seen It's a Wonderful Life?
Yes, I know all about George Bailey.
No, I didn't ask if you know about it, I asked if you'd seen it.
Yes, absolutely. Trust me, I'm not like Kevin Conroy's Batman. I got past the title because that's an old. Well, that's you remember that, right?
Vaguely.
It's in it's in Christmas with the Joker. It's one of Kevin's best lines, where Robin says, "Have you actually seen exactly what you just asked me? Have you actually seen It's a Wonderful Life?" And Batman's like, "No, I could never get past the title because of how horrible his life was because his parents getting murdered and he becoming this crime vigilante." I know. But yes, no, I've seen it. I've seen it exactly 3 times in my life. I don't need to see it anymore. I know it like the back of my hand. I'm saying the time travel stuff with them not being able to whatever.
They absolutely interact with the stuff.
They do. Yeah.
It's full on Back to the Future where they're. It's full on that episode of Simpsons where Homer goes back and he's got like the club and he's just tired of all the bullshit and is smashing everything in sight.
Yep.
Which is kind of absolutely not what happens in It's a Wonderful Life.
Well, no, they don't. Yeah. You but Yeah, but no, I liked this. I thought it was really fun. And this was, I think, so I've seen the Lego movie. I didn't like the Lego movie. I didn't like
You're
the
mess.
I didn't like the message.
You didn't like the message?
Yeah, I didn't like the message. Didn't like.
Okay.
Maybe I have to revisit it, but at the time when it came out, I was like,
I don't want
to damn it, you're a villain. You need to die.
What?
Yes, exactly. He was too annoying as a character to me. I'd rather face Jar Jar than Emmett. Emmett is worse than Jar Jar to me. Yes, folks, I've broken his brain. I've broken his brain so much that he's not saying anything.
I mean, no, yeah, he's annoying. I do get that, but that's not the message of the film. The message of the film is to have an open heart and to share and to be creative. I mean, weirdly, if anybody should dislike the message of the Lego movie, it should be me, because it's like, share your toys. And I'm like, no. Like, I'm with the dad. It's like, don't touch my stuff.
I've seen the Lego movie. I've seen Lego Batman. And
Okay, I'm not going to fight you on Lego Batman. Like, Lego Batman has one great joke, which is the opening sequence when there's the airplane that's full of, like, bombs and guns and... Mm-hmm. You know, poison and radio. It's like everything that every criminal in Gotham would possibly want is flying over Gotham City at that moment. And that just that list of all the things on the plane, that's hilarious. And then after that, I was like, okay, and get it. Batman and Joker are basically a couple. Like they have a it's a romantic vibe. Do you get it? That's
The
subtext. That's not the text.
Yeah, but that subtext is not just the Lego Batman movie. That's almost everything.
The subtext is there. What I'm saying is that the Lego Batman movie is like, look, it's the text now.
Yeah.
Instead of the subtext, it's the text. We're just going to be blatant about this thing that's always subtly there.
Well, I think
aren't we clever? And the answer is no, not really.
Well, I think
although they do get points for Billy Dee Williams as Two-Face. They get points for that.
Yes.
As an 89 Batman fan, they get points for finally giving Billy Dee Williams the Two-Face role.
Yep. So that's my overall point was, I've only seen several of the Lego animated things, and this one, overall, I really enjoyed it. What? What are you laughing at?
I didn't hit mute. I swear to God, I hit mute. I've only seen several is the most amazing thing anyone's said.
Okay. Lego Movie, Lego Batman, and Lego Star Wars. I have not watched, I have not sought out any of the other ones. I refuse to watch the Lego Movie 2 because of...
If you didn't like the first one, you're not... Like, the second one's disappointing. The second one is a little bit of a letdown. And then I don't care about Ninjago, so...
Yeah,
there was a cat. Get it. It's a real cat. Their Legos are fighting a real cat.
Yeah.
The Jago fans, come at me. Whatever happened to Spin Jitsu, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Remember they spun? You spun them, and they gave up on that pretty fast.
Yeah. Hey, I'm still looking at what fidget spinners and what did we spin?
That was a thing.
What did we? There was something. Yeah, there was something back
Cobra
in the
80s. Cobra Fang helicopter blades.
Okay, there's that.
Keep your eye out.
Yeah. But there was something, it was not the fidget spinner. There was something else. It was not the Bop It. Don't even get me started on the 90s piece of crap. Skip Bow or whatever. I forget. There was something else. But
I don't know.
My point in saying all of that was to say that I kind of want to look into, research some of the other Lego animated things, because I really enjoyed this. I think this was done really well. I think this was written very well.
I mean, it was well made. It was well animated. It looks good. I mean, I can't say it wasn't written well, because I think a lot of it was a personal preference. Where that just the, when it got into the shenaniganry, I lost interest because I'm not interested. I don't enjoy that kind of humor as much.
Okay.
It's well, not my style of humor.
Then I guess next year, folks, I'm going to have to find somebody else to go on the Lego Star Wars Summer Vacation and then the Terrifying Tales for Halloween because Dave doesn't like this stuff.
I'm not a fan.
Voice cast for this. I kind of wish, but I probably understand why they didn't get Daisy and John Boyega.
They weren't going to get Boyega.
Yeah.
Because he's bitter as hell about what they did to his character.
So
I don't blame him.
Yeah. Yeah. So they got Helen Sadler and Omar Miller, respectfully, as Finn and Rey. Jake Green was Poe Dameron and Greedo. He also played a snowtrooper. Kelly Marie Tran was Rose Tico. Matt Sloan was the voice of Darth Vader. Billy Dee Williams, as you mentioned. Lando, Anthony Daniels, C-3PO. Trevor Duvall was Emperor Palpatine. He was also a First Order trooper and Mon Calamari. Or Calinari? Yeah,
Calinari. Like the food.
Oh, well then Wikipedia has... I need to edit this Wikipedia article because it spells it with an N. Yeah, that's not good.
No.
They screwed that up. Matthew Wood as Ben Solo, Kylo Ren. Now that's kind of disappointing. They couldn't get... what's his name back?
Adam Driver?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, he's had one of the bigger careers from the sequel trilogy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Eric Bauza as Luke Skywalker, Tom Kane as Yoda, which he's been playing Yoda for years now. He also plays the voice of Qui-Gon. Grey Griffin, a.k.a. Grey Delisle. Grey Delisle Griffin plays Maz Kanata. Matt Lanter as Anakin, because Matt has been playing Anakin for God knows how long. Dee Bradley Baker as Clone Troopers and Max Rebo.
Okay, he was the one that I thought did Yoda. Like,
oh, you thought it was Dee? It's Tom Kane. I think that honestly, I think I have to look into Tom Kane, but I think his Yoda voice is the only voice I've ever heard him do. I'm sure he does other voices. I'm not saying he doesn't. Actually, I just saw a really cool one. I'll see if I can find it. Send it to you. I saw a thing on Instagram where. James Arnold Taylor as Obi-Wan and Sam Witwer as Maul. They were going back and forth. Oh, it was good. But yeah, no, I liked the Lego Star Wars special. I thought it was really fun. I like the overall story. I agree with you. Sometimes the whole brick blocky thing, because it's Lego, I get it. I understand because it is Lego, but... I don't know. I just look at it as chibi things, really, honestly, at the end of the day when it comes to some of the animation. But I'd probably give it a 4 out of 5 for this.
This is one of those tricky things when you're reviewing stuff because, again, my personal bias is that I didn't enjoy it, but I think if you like this sort of thing, it probably is like a 3.5, 4. If you're into that Lego kind of humor, it is done well.
Yeah.
So, but I'm not. So, like, my own personal rating would be much lower. But for just the general audience, I would say 3.54. Like, because again, I just it's not my kind of humor. I'm not into it. But it's not fair to like slam the thing that isn't trying to be my humor for not being my humor. It does what it does well.
Yeah.
Which I think is the fairest thing you can say.
And again, we're not trying to be fair to everybody. If you
I'm trying to be fair.
No, that's not Dave. That's not the point, buddy. The point of the scale is for each person to give it their own personal. Like, if you didn't like this,
is a fair one.
Okay, and
fairness.
A fair score would be a 3 or 3.5, not a 3.5 or 4, because it would be average.
But for you personally. It's like, you know, I said 3.5 or 4, and I'm going to stick with 3.5 or 4.
Okay.
I think I've made my reasons pretty clear.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If you're into that sort of thing, you probably enjoy it. If you're not into that thing, don't watch it.
Absolutely.
I mean, I didn't. The only reason I watched it was because we were doing a double billing, like, so because I knew it wasn't my thing.
Mm-hmm. All right, folks. Like I mentioned in the middle of the show earlier, episode 110 will be the final Star Wars episode for now, where we discussed episodes 7 through 9 scores. Yes,
but Skeleton Crew is actually good.
Yes, I'm not doing
well,
the week to week bullshit.
Yeah. Well, that's fair. Like the last episode was very
mid.
No, it wasn't mid, but it was just, you know, it was a chapter in a book.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like it that's nothing the, really like yeah. happened per se, but yeah. but stuff advanced.
Yeah.
It was fine on its own, but like it wasn't like, you know, it's not like Mandalorian where each episode is a self-contained story.
Yeah.
And then there's a larger arc. It's all larger arc.
Yeah, that's why I'm waiting for however many episodes it's going to be.
I'm just saying they actually have a good Star Wars thing that we could talk about. And
we will.
I remember when Star Wars was good. I'm old. I remember being excited about Star Wars.
Heck, in my day.
Right, yeah. 3 years.
Is it just called Skeleton? It's Star Wars Skeleton
Crew. Oh, dude, just wait for the thing to be finished.
That's what I'm doing.
And it's called Star Wars Skeleton Crew.
Okay, there we go. All right, so yeah. So for now, until Star Wars Skeleton Crew releases all its episodes, the next and final episode for 12 Months of Star Wars will be our discussion on the sequel trilogy soundtracks, which was a very cool episode. And then over the next 9 days after that, we are getting our trench coats on and going back to the 60s and 70s with Columbo. So that's what's going to happen there. After that, we've got the 30th anniversary of John Grisham's The Firm. So we're going to be doing that. And then after that, I don't know, folks. I don't even know if I'm going to make it to December 25th this year.
If you want a list. I have suggestions.
I have a. It's fine. Suggestions are always welcome. Not saying they're not. I'm just saying I've got a list. I just don't know if the list is going to get done. So, all right. Anything else you would like to say before I run through the closing, sir?
I will say about the original one. Like I think I told the story on the original recording that years ago, my best friend showed up one day and like he had this book. And it was a children's storybook based on the holiday special. Not based on, but like based on Lumpy from the holiday special. And I was like, because I just assumed that he got it from me because I'm a huge Star Wars fan and he's not. And it was amazing. Like what was amazing about this thing is it was an actual licensed product from the Star Wars holiday special at the time. Like I don't have the actual magazine, but I've got like that article clip from it. From an old Tomarts that they were going to do action figures of Lumpy, Itchy, Mala. You know, they were basically just Chewbacca with like the short legs painted gray.
Yep.
You know, Wookiee boobs sculpted in, but they never did those. So it was just amazing. It really was like an Indiana Jones, you know, finds the Cross of Coronado moment of, oh my God, an actual thing, an actual licensed thing that acknowledges the existence of the Star Wars holiday special. And I remember it was the greatest present he'd ever given me, and I loved it so much. And years later, he was like, I didn't buy that for you. I bought it for me, and you stole it. And I was like, oh. He was like, you guilted me into like giving it to you. And I was like, oh, thanks for ruining one of the most wonderful moments of my life. But I still have it. The key thing is I still have it.
That's right. That's right. All right, folks, thank you for joining us here on – that's not what that's supposed to say. God damn it. Ow. Thank you for joining us here inside the studio. If you'd like to get in contact with us, leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. We now have a brand new fourth wall store on the website. You can visit shop.geekcastradio.com. You can get T-shirts and sweatshirts and other type – clothing things, yes, buy them.
Buy things.
Up to 4XL for sizing. So that's yeah, I know, right? That was my thing. And I'm like, come on, you guys can't go two sizes up. Come on. Because I ain't losing this weight anytime soon, even though I haven't eaten like 3 days. But anyway, it is what it is. So yeah, shop.geekcastradio.com for all your Geekcast Radio holiday merchandise needs, cups, mugs, all that good stuff. Send any email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on all the podcasting clients you choose to use, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, etc. You can follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio, at ItStudio2009. I am at TFGO and Mike. Dave doesn't do social media.
I am as well hidden as at Atten.
Mm-hmm.
You'd know if you watched Skeleton Crew.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, I was going to make a Robert Patton joke, but apparently not.
I'm glad I stepped on that.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Patton Oswalt? Is that what you're going for?
No, I was going for the last name, not the first name. No, I was not going for a Patton Oswalt reference. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork and Studio 2009 podcast over there as well. As I've already mentioned, next time will be music scores from John Williams for the sequel trilogy, which was a fun recording as always. I still have to edit that one, I think, or maybe I already edited it. I don't even remember anymore.
Oh, I hope you have the files.
I have the files. Because I think I edited it.
That is hard to say.
Yeah, it edited is. Yes. For now, I am TFGO and Mike with...
David Draper.
Hillary is back in the studio soon. Oh, yeah. And Unleash the Geek in You.
Oh, one more thing before I forget.
Oh, God. Well, this will be an edit point at some point while my head is splitting.
I'm so sorry. You shouldn't have had all those cookies yesterday.
I had... Wait, how did you know I had... Wait, what?
Because you told me we had to end
your... Okay, anyway.
How did you know? I know everything.
Like, wait a minute. What the hell happened here?